FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Former Senator Jim Talent joining us right now at Jim Talent on Twitter. You can go to bipartisanpolicy.org to learn more about that. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, Mark. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. You know, before we get into the international stuff with North Korea and all that, I just have a political question for you.
Sure.
Today is the one-year anniversary of the Bob Mueller investigation. And, you know, Rudy Giuliani seems to be putting a little bit of full court pressure on him to go ahead and give us your report. Let's see what you've got after 1 year and I'm sure millions of dollars of investigations. What's your take on that a year into this?
Well, I think it shows that Rudy's not afraid of anything he might say. You know, I think there's a point where we're entitled to say that if they have no evidence of collusion, and they have none, that's because there wasn't any, okay? So, you know, the idea of this investigation is either to find something or exonerate people. And I think the exoneration is coming. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but if they'd had anything, it would have leaked. I mean, who's kidding whom, right? So
right.
I do think it is time for him to wrap this thing up and to tell people what he's got, if he's got anything. And I never thought he had anything. Do I think the Russians interfere with our elections? Sure. That's dog bites man. They've been doing that for decades. It was a classic tactic of the Soviets. Others do the same thing. And once in a while, you know, we stick our nose in other countries' elections. But I've never believed there was any collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
I'm glad to hear you point that out, because the U.S. has certainly tried to interfere in Benjamin Netanyahu's last election.
Right.
I remember reading the stories about that. I don't know that you could claim it was collusion, but we tried to influence the outcome of that election against Netanyahu's interests.
Yeah, now we use, you know, tactics. I'm not trying to compare us or make us equivalent to the Russians or other countries that do this sort of thing. But, I mean, were they trying to interfere? What we're finding out, I mean, and this I'd really like to see, the House and the Senate are on this like, you know, ducks on June bugs, is what the FBI was doing. I mean, if you look at what that dossier triggered, and if that came at all from, you know, a Russian intelligence operation at all, then there's more evidence of the contrary, that they, you know, that they tried to get an investigation of President Trump's campaign. But anyway, whatever it is, it ought to come out. And I think the American people are ready to hear it and ready for this thing to end.
Yeah.
So I think Rudy's right.
Yeah, it's a great point. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Earlier this week, I had a friend on who lives in Israel. He lives in Jerusalem. He said about a 15-minute walk from the new embassy. And he was giving me a little different perspective on this problem down in Gaza compared to what we're getting in the mainstream media coverage on this.
It's terrible. I mean, it's as bad as anything I've ever seen. It really is. I'm sorry I interrupted your question.
No, go ahead. You're making my point.
It's terrible. Look, I do want to say a word about the embassy, but with regard to Hamas. So this is standard procedure for Hamas. They're particularly whenever they're under pressure, and they're under pressure now because Iran is overextended all throughout the Middle East, and their economy is going south on them. So my guess is they're not providing as much support to Hamas. And their other sponsors, some of the Gulf states, have gone in the other direction. And so they're hard-pressed, and what they always do with this is they attack Israeli civilians, and that's what this was, that forces Israel to defend itself. Israel goes to incredible lengths to try and avoid any civilian deaths and to use the least amount of force it has to use. But then Hamas sticks civilians up front, and some of them get killed, unfortunately. And then they appeal to the Western press for sympathy, and they try and revive themselves that way. So it's standard procedure. They're doing the same thing again. And really, you know, it's if the press would be balanced in response to one of these things, it would be a major blow to Hamas. And I can't think of anything better for the people of Gaza than, you know, if they got rid of that movement, because it's a sorry, terrible place. You know, Israel's the only country that had an open border with Gaza, and they were trying to ship in, like, energy and that sort of thing, and Hamas prevented it, because they don't want that place to get better. I mean, it's just terrible. So, Yeah, this is a standard procedure for them.
Well, and what a shame, really, how they've, I guess, willingly manipulated the mainstream media. I watched a CBS News report the other day where they were at a hospital in Gaza talking about the injured, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, if they hadn't followed the orders of Hamas and rushed the border, there's a good chance they wouldn't have ended up in the hospital.
Well, yes, and look, Felix Frankfurter said about one of his colleagues on the Supreme Court one time, he said, experience goes through him without stopping. And I think that sometimes about some observers of the Middle East, I mean, how often does this have to happen before the, you know, the game plan becomes clear? So, you know, the Israelis have the right to defend themselves. Now, if people want to come forward and say, look, they don't have the right to exist, and therefore they don't have the right to defend themselves, at least that's an honest position. But to say that, that, you know, that they're trying, that they want this, that they're trying to hurt people, is just absolutely wrong. And, you know, you keep saying it over and over again, and then people keep reporting it this way.
Jim, we're talking to Jim Talent, a former Missouri senator with the bipartisan policy.org now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And North Korea. You know, I expected there would be a bit of a roller coaster before this summit actually happened. What's your take over how North Korea's positioned this now, threatening to pull out?
It shows that the strategy is working. You know, I wrote a column about this. I think the summit is occurring because the Chinese have decided that the North Korean nuclear program is causing things in the region that they, the Chinese, really don't like. That hurts their interest. And, you know, the Japanese are building up their defenses again. We're surging carriers to the Western Pacific. And the United States and South Korea have come even closer together in the last couple of years because of this threat. I mean, it's quite natural. And that's bad for the Chinese strategic interest. So I think they forced this guy to the table. So what we've done here is we found out what they want and how bad they want it. They don't want us working more closely together with the South Koreans. So therefore, that's what we ought to continue doing. Yeah. Unless and until the North Koreans actually do, not promise, but actually do what we want them to do with this program. I think the administration gets this. What John Bolton said about this, I think, is exactly right. So what we need to do now is to say, hey, if you don't like these military exercises, maybe you ought to get rid of your program. And when you've done that and you've showed us you've done it, then maybe we'll give you something that you want.
It's a completely different approach than the U.S. has ever taken with them before, and you can see the results.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I said I want to say a word about the embassy. I always thought that was a good move, just the right thing to do. I mean, Jerusalem's the capital of Israel, and we put our embassies in the capital. But it's turned out, I think, to have a lot of benefits for us. It's reducing the isolation of Israel in the region. You know, the other countries are starting to send their embassies there as well. It's reaffirmed to the region that America will stand by its allies, which is hugely important in anything we want to do. So I think it was a relatively easy way of reversing the polarity in the Middle East. I give the administration a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if this summit gets pulled off on the date that they've got in mind. It's almost like they're trying to delay for some reason.
Yeah, they may delay it. I don't think they're going to cancel it because they agreed, they offered this summit because they thought it was in their interest to have it.
Right.
Not because they want peace, okay? It's because they thought it was in their interest. And if they thought that, they still think that. And I think they're going to go ahead and have the summit. And if they don't, we go back to the strategy of continuing to pressure, and largely by signaling to the Chinese that things are happening in the region they don't like because of what their ally is doing. Okay,
yeah.
That's the way to solve this, if it can be solved.
Jim, back here in wonderful Missouri politics, the LA Times has an article out this morning quoting Al Watkins, the attorney in this case for the ex-husband involved in the affair, claiming that the $120,000 payment that was made to him actually came from a powerful GOP donor. Any thoughts on how weird this situation gets every day?
I thought he said he didn't know where it came from.
He did say that
bags of money showed up and he didn't know. Yeah, this gets curiouser and curiouser. I have admired how the legislature's handled it. You know, I've been in this situation where the chief executive is under a huge cloud and you have to consider you know, impeachment, and it is hard to do, and I think they're trying to do it in a workmanlike fashion with a lot of integrity. So, you know, I'm waiting to see how that process plays out. I do think the governor needs to, in some forum or other, and it may be a trial, it could be before the committee or something like that, you know, really put himself in a position where he explains what happened and he opens himself up to the toughest questions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's coming in one context or another. You know, until I see it, I'm reserving judgment because, you know, I know that often the true story is not what you're, you know, hearing in the initial stages.
No, true. And, you know, I spoke with two Missouri senators yesterday on the show, and they both told me that they're pretty sure that there's going to be a vote for impeachment at some point during this special session. It almost seems at this point to be a foregone conclusion that there are folks in Jeff City who intend to take that vote one way or the other. So
yeah, I think they're going to move ahead with the process certainly, and that's better intel than I have. I mean, it's not like I get up in the morning and start calling these people to find out what's going on. You know?
Understood.
And by the way, I don't typically read the LA Times, so, but I'm glad you do.
Well,
shows how informed you are, right?
And I appreciate that, but you know, I mean, I saw the headline and I'm thinking, well, how in the world did the Los Angeles Times beat the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on that story? That's pretty amazing.
Well, that's a good question to put to somebody at the Post-Dispatch. Come on your program. I imagine the editors are asking that question right now to some of the reporters.
I suspect there's an interesting editorial meeting going on this morning at the Post.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
There might be. That's more your line than mine, though. You know?
Yeah, Jim, thanks so much for your time.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Have a great day. Appreciate that. Jim Talent there, at Jim Talent.